typically migrants, including asylum seekers and refugees, making that dangerous trip to Yemen. They're fleeing things like conflict, political instability, human rights violations, drought. They're essentially desperate, and they're looking for safety, protection, and yes, for economic opportunities too, among those migrants and asylum seekers and refugees. And we're seeing, I guess, as things escalate, as trends change, that's where numbers can fluctuate to some degree.
Of course, they're taking a great risk in trying to get across the Gulf of Aden. Can you tell us about some of those risks that they are taking?
The conditions themselves, a several-day trip, and the climate and the sea conditions, it can be worse. They themselves are typically overcrowded boats. And when you, again, are desperate enough to want to or need to make that kind of trip, you're essentially putting yourself in the hands of networks of smugglers, traffickers. It's a bit out of your hands, out of your control when you make that decision. But again, you don't always have that choice. Then there are times, of course, when you're approaching the sea coast in Yemen, and in order to avoid detection by authorities, there are reports of smugglers forcing these migrants into the waters offshore in order to avoid detection, therefore putting them at risk of drowning, that type of thing too. It doesn't end there, unfortunately. There are networks of traffickers waiting onshore and, again, seeking to avoid detection by authorities and even detection by UNHCR and our partners who are there to assist. You know, that makes it really challenging to actually access all of the people, the asylum seekers, refugees, migrants fleeing to Yemen. They are at risk of exploitation, sexual exploitation, possible ransoming, that type of thing. So they're in a very vulnerable position when they reach Yemen even then.
What type of significant changes have you observed over the past 2 years in the refugee and migrant population?
We are seeing a significant change in terms of more Ethiopians making the crossing and citing the difficult situation at home, whereas previously there had been a slightly larger proportion of Somali refugees making that trip. So typically, Somali refugees made up about one-third to one-quarter of total arrivals. But the people who arrived in Yemen in the first half of 2013, about over 38,000 or 84% were Ethiopian. There were about 7,500 or about 16% Somalis. And there were a small number of other people from Eritrea, Djibouti, and Sudan as well. The thing to remember, though, what's important is that even though maybe we're seeing some stability and the numbers decreasing to some degree in Somalia and from Somalia, at the same time, as our High Commissioner emphasized on a recent trip to the region, the Horn of Africa, Somalia, Kenya, and Ethiopia recently, we're still seeing an outflow from Somalia. So in that regard, it's not like a complete change. Though having said that, yes, we are seeing a bit of a change in the pattern here where we're seeing more Ethiopians of late and fewer Somalis making the trip more across the Arabian Sea. We're seeing more from the Ethiopian side across the Red Sea.
Those who want to travel beyond Yemen, are they making it, for instance, are they getting into Saudi Arabia now?
I have to say, I don't have the latest information on that, but in that sense, it's certainly one of the reasons why we are trying to bring attention to the fact that this migration continues and to provide as much information as we can as to who's making that trip, why they're doing it, where they're landing. In a sense, we're trying to, as much as we can, support the Yemeni government and governments in the region, simply in terms of better cooperation, so that everyone making this trip gets the assistance that they need right away. We can't differentiate between who is perhaps an economic migrant and who's a refugee, an asylum seeker. All of these people, when they arrive, are usually desperate condition in need of help. And that includes like food and water on the beaches, first aid, counseling, that type of thing too. So I guess the point is we just want to make sure that even with changing numbers and perhaps patterns and trends, that basically those in need of international protection are getting it.
We'll help the government and the authorities to do is to define very clear roles and responsibilities and provide a clear framework within which they can operate in terms of responding to its internally displaced population. So currently, in its absence, the response to displacement is very ad hoc and inadequate. So the Kampala Convention will really help to address not just displacement, but also some of the root causes. We really hope that the government will move forward in adopting it as soon as possible.